Amen. What a wonderful time in His presence this morning. My heart is tender before Him as we worship Him. He tenders our heart as we worship. He's tendered my heart this morning, and I'm grateful for it. I appreciate you folks more than you know. I know I felt like the last few weeks I've just preached really, really hard. Addressed some hard subjects, and sometimes it almost feels like I'm speaking to you in a condescending way, and I want you to understand that's not what I intend to do. My job is to remind us of our calling in Christ to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But you guys do a good job of that. You do a good job of it. We all need that reminder that pulls us back and centers us up sometimes. But today I feel like the Lord just kind of directed me in a different path, more of an encouraging word to you. In fact, I always think it's interesting the way God puts the songs together in the Heart of the Praise Team, and how many times the subject of creation came up in our songs this morning, and how creation joins in a course of worship to God. And if you look at Psalm 104 in its whole context, it is about how creation has been used by God to reveal Himself to us. By the miraculous complexity of our creation, and by the beauty of our creation. And in fact, the first way I believe that God reveals Himself to man is through His creation. I didn't have a clue this week what I was going to preach. I'm usually, by Monday or Tuesday, the Lord has usually given me some direction about what He wants me to do, where He wants me to go the next week, and I love that because it gives me a whole week to kind of chew and meditate on it and to think about how to deliver that message. I didn't have a clue this week. I was wrestling until Friday. I had an eventful week, and Friday I was just kind of fretting and didn't know which way to go, and I had some errands to run that morning. And as I was going to town, just thinking about what the Lord would have me to preach, I noticed, you know, I love spring of the year. I love the fall of the year because deer hunting season starts. But I love the spring of the year because everything's coming alive again. Everything's beginning to bloom and to blossom. And I was going into town, I was noticing all the trees that were beginning to put on the new growth and the buds. And a lot of times what we say down south at this time of year is the sap's beginning to rise. And the sap will help dry this ground out, hopefully, as it does begin to rise. But when I thought about that, this verse of Scripture came to my mind from Psalm 104 and verse number 16. It says that the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted, where the birds make their nest. Now that verse goes on, but it talks about the stork and how the fir trees are the stork's nest. But that, I remember, I don't know what it is sometimes about reading Scripture. It doesn't mean anything to you when you read it the first time, but somewhere along the way as you're going through life, God will bring verses back to your mind that you did not even know that you had retained there. And that verse just came to my mind out of nowhere. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. And I'll be quite honest with you, I wasn't even real sure it was a verse. I just remembering that at some point. And Brother Carl has taught me a lot about the computer, and he taught me how to do searches. When I'm searching for a document, I can open whatever file I want to and just type in a few words. And I typed in those words to see if I'd ever even preached on the subject. The only time I can recall or find any time that I've ever even mentioned that verse of Scripture was when we were dealing with the Holy Spirit. And I quoted that passage in the context of talking about the Holy Spirit. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. But when I got home, I looked up that verse in the Bible. I found it, and I found that it refers particularly in the context to a very specific tree. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted, where the birds make their nest. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, and it specifically relates to the cedars of Lebanon. So I looked up cedars of Lebanon, found out that it is a real actual tree that grows in the rocky high mountains of Lebanon. In fact, the cedar of Lebanon is actually the national symbol of Lebanon. But it is also widely known as the Cedars of God. Not the Cedars of Lebanon, but the Cedars of God. Well, that led me back to the scripture, and I began to look up some words in Strong's Concordance and find out how many times this thing has shown up in the Word of God. And it was either 103 or 130. I can't remember how many times exactly the name Cedar was mentioned. But when you start looking specifically for the words, the Cedars of Lebanon, there were three places that I found it to be very interesting. One was in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 4, where the sap of the cedar wood tree was used for the cleansing of leprosy. Another was in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 6, when Solomon was preparing to build the house of the Lord, when he was preparing to build the temple of the Lord, he said that they were to go and hew down cedar trees out of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon were used as the building materials of the first temple, which was an elaborate temple, probably one of the wonders of the world at that time. And then the most interesting to me, in fact, I thought about when I was thinking about preaching this message, I thought, Lord, it's very clear that this verse of Scripture is talking about an actual tree that gives you glory because you planted it there. And I said, I don't know how in the world that applies to us as Christians. And then I read Psalm chapter 92, and I found that the psalmist used the tree of Lebanon to describe someone who lives a righteous life. In chapter 92, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now, I got the fat part now. I'm still waiting for the flourishing part. But I thought when I read that, that God is using the cedar of Lebanon to illustrate a godly life. Even in its old age, it will still be prospering and fruitful, which is fat and flourishing. It will still be fruitful in bringing God glory. Now, he's using the cedar of Lebanon there as an illustration of what a righteous life is capable of doing. And that last verse in Psalm 92 just kind of got my spiritual thoughts and juices flowing. And I went back to Psalm 104 and just looked at this verse. There's not a lot of meat in that verse in particular, but I want us just to consider some things this morning, just as a way of encouragement. The trees of the Lord. The trees of the Lord. Now that implies something. If you just think about that phrase, the trees of the Lord. The Lebanese people actually call those cedars the cedars of God. It implies that man didn't have anything to do with them. It implies that man did not plant them, that God planted them. Now, how they got planted on those high mountaintops in that rocky soil, I don't know. It was interesting. I was reading some of Spurgeon's notes on this particular passage of Scripture. And Spurgeon said, perhaps when God destroyed the earth in the flood, some of the seeds of those cedar trees found themselves upon the rocks of those mountains, and they took root there, and they brought God glory there. I thought that was an interesting thought. But when you think about the trees of the Lord, understand this, that man didn't have anything to do with those trees, that God planted them there. They are His. There's nobody tending to those trees. There's nobody watering those trees. There's nobody that owns those trees. There's nobody that sustains those trees except God. God uses those trees for His own purpose and for His own glory. As it is with the righteous man, as it is with the righteous woman, we are all planted, watered, birthed, and bloomed by the very Spirit of God. Listen, you can't take credit for your righteous life. I don't take credit for my righteous life. We can't take credit for our righteous life. If we are the trees of the Lord, it is because He has planted us. It is because He has watered us. It is because He sustains us. It is because He wants to use us for His glory, and only He deserves the glory. For the root that is in our life and for the fruit that is in our life, only God deserves the glory for our righteousness as we are used for His purpose. I found out about these cedars of Lebanon some interesting things. First of all, they have very deep root. They have a very, very deep root system. Now, you can look them up. In fact, those trees that are the background are cedars of Lebanon. I pulled it off of the website that was describing these cedar trees. I found out about these trees that they can grow up to 130 feet tall and be 8 foot across. Now, if you do a little circumference formula on those, 8 feet across is about 25, a little better than 25 feet around that tree. I did a little wingspan test on me in my office, and by my calculations, it would take 5 men to reach around some of these trees. That's the girth of the tree, up to 130 foot tall and 8 feet across. But an interesting fact, now in fact, I found this very interesting. You might not, but I did. For every 10 foot of that tree that is above the ground, there's 30 foot under the ground. For every 10 foot that tree grows tall, it has to go 30 foot down to get its nutrients, to get its water. We're never going to grow any taller in Christ without putting down roots deep in Him. For every 10 foot above us, that the world, for every 10 foot that we stand in the world, we got to go 30 foot deep in Him. In fact, I think maybe that's what Paul meant when he prayed the prayer for the church at Ephesus. He said, I want you to know what is the breadth and the height and the depth and the width of the love that God has for you. And as we grow deep in the love of God, we can grow tall in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The trees of the Lord are His. We don't take any responsibility for what He's done, what He's doing, the glory that He's receiving from our lives. If we're going to grow tall, we got to grow deep. If we want the world to see the majesty of God in us, we've got to put our roots down deep in the Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing I see in those simple little words and those simple verses is that the trees of the Lord are useful for His glory and for others. That verse said that the birds make their nest there in those trees of Lebanon. I also found in doing a little bit of research that the Phoenicians used those trees, those cedars of Lebanon, to build their ships. It is how they became a seafaring people. It's how they multiplied their ability to trade. I also found the Egyptians used the sap from those cedar trees in their embalming processes. They also used it to preserve documents in those tombs that they built. Solomon had those cedar trees hewn into timbers that could be used in the first temple of God. They also made up many of the furnishings and the ornamental objects that were a part of that temple. Can I tell you this morning that a righteous man is a gospel ship? A righteous man is a gospel ship. The trees of the Lord, the plantings that the Lord has made, the temples that the Lord builds, the ships that the Lord builds to take His message out to the world, that is a righteous man. That is a righteous woman. A righteous man is a gospel ship, so that everywhere that he goes and everything that he does, he proclaims the glory of God, the kingdom of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. A righteous woman is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us, and God makes Himself known through us to the world. A righteous man is a blessing to others. In fact, I believe many times that the only reason the judgment of God is withheld from our nation is because there are righteous men and righteous women that are standing in the gap that are imploring and interceding God to have mercy. Righteous people provide light in the darkness. Righteous people provide truth in the middle of deception. Righteous people live their lives in service to Christ and to other men, just as the cedars of Lebanon live their life to serve in many different ways. They were useful. But then we get to that part of the verse that says the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Now, I thought about a lot of ways I could go with this, but I probably ain't going to go those ways. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the first thing that came to my mind is people ought not be sap suckers then. You know, a sapsucker is somebody that drains the sap out of you. Don't be a sapsucker. That's another message for another day, though. Positive today. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Sap is the lifeblood of a tree. Sap to a tree is like blood in their bodies. A tree that doesn't have sap dies. The Bible said the trees of the Lord are full of sap. That sap pulls up the water and the nutrients from the ground that provide the tree with health that make the tree grow. They make the tree produce new growth. They make the tree bud. It makes the tree bloom. It makes the tree produce fruit. And we all know that inside the fruit of the tree is the seed of another tree. And so the sap literally is the lifeblood of the tree. Without sap being present, the tree dies. Sap gives life. The sap is always there. And as long as it is, the tree is alive. As long as it is, the tree will grow. As long as that sap is drawing the nutrients and the water from the soil, pulling it up that trunk and into those branches and into those leaves, the tree will be healthy and growing and reproducing. Now, we all know this. There are seasons in life. There are seasons in the life of a tree that growth slows down, that it stalls. In fact, I've always found it interesting. Maybe you don't, but when you cut a tree down, one of the things I've always liked to do is count the rings in a tree that represent how many years that tree's been around. We tried to, this pulpit is made out of two big pine trees that grew right where this building is sitting. And I remember us trying to count the rings in that tree, and it was much older than the church was. The tree that built this pulpit was actually Dean built it, but the tree that he used to build it with was older than this church's founding. And I've thought about it many times. God planted that tree knowing what would be here one day and what it would be used for. We were counting the rings in that tree and see how old. But you can also tell by the rings of the tree that there are seasons of that tree's life that the growth is exponential. There are wide rings sometimes. That means that was a good year for the tree, that it put on girth, that it put on height, that it grew, that it had water, that it had nutrients, that it sprang up. There are other rings in those trees that will be very, very narrow. Those were seasons of drought. Those were seasons where the growth was not as fast, where maybe even the growth had stalled. But I want you to understand this. As long as there's sap there, as long as the sap is pulling the nutrients from the ground, the tree is alive. Now, what is the sap representative of? It's the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The Bible said that the trees of the Lord are full of sap. And I want to submit to you this morning that we are the trees of the Lord. And we are full of the Holy Spirit. We are full of the thing that gives us life, the thing that gives us vitality, the things that makes us grow, the thing that makes us produce fruit. There is never a time, listen to me, there is never a time that the Holy Spirit is truly absent from the life of a believer. There is never a time that the Holy Spirit is absent from the life of a believer. He is in you. In fact, the Bible says this: if the Holy Spirit is not in you, you are none of His. The sap of the Lord, the sap of the Holy Spirit is always active in the life of a believer. He's never truly absent. There are seasons of our life that our growth may slow down. There are seasons of our life our growth may even stall out. Sometimes it's because of what we've done. Sometimes it's because there's a spiritual drought. Sometimes it's because we're not reading and we're not praying and we're not studying and we're not being faithful. And we go through those seasons where our growth slows down to a crawl and even stalls. But as long as the Holy Spirit is present, there is life, because sap gives life and the Holy Spirit gives life to believers. We are, in the sense of, just like the cedar trees of Lebanon, they're evergreens. They never fade. The leaves are always green, like these pine trees we see. They're evergreen. We always have eternal life. We always have eternal life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of the Lord lives in us. And He is the deposit of that eternal life. Not only does sap give life, but sap protects. I found this to be interesting. The sap of a cedar tree is naturally resistant to disease. It is naturally resistant to disease. And it has a repelling nature to it that makes insects not want to get to it and makes some fungus not want to grow on it. It has a natural resistance to disease. It naturally repels insects and fungus. The Holy Spirit that lives in us gives us the power to resist temptation. The Holy Spirit that lives in us gives us the ability to overcome the assaults of the enemy. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The trees of the Lord are full of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you know that if the Holy Spirit lives in you, when sin tries to creep into your life, He lets you know? There is a natural force within us that repels that infection, that repels that invasion, that guards us against sickness and disease in the spiritual sense. And the Holy Spirit that fills our lives. In fact, the fuller that we are of the Holy Spirit, the more resistant we become to these things that would creep into our lives and destroy us. The fullness of His Spirit assures us that we can have whatever it takes to live a victorious, abundant, and fruit-filled life as the trees of the Lord. I also found not only that sap gives life and that sap protects, but that sap heals. Sap heals. Some of these guys in here spend some time in the turpentine woods. You know this. If you want the tree to keep giving you turpentine, you got to keep skinning it. I spent 1 week in the turpentine woods, and I decided the backer patch was better. I did not enjoy toting that bucket of turpentine through them palmettos, because every palmetto sounded like a rattlesnake rattling to me. And so I gladly went back to the tobacco patch. But I know that they're part of that, chipping those boxes, making those trees bleed. You got to wound a tree to make the tree bleed. But you understand what that sap is really doing is when you wound that tree, it rushes to that place where that tree is wounded and begins a process of healing. It scabs it over. Literally is what the sap does. It creates a scab that makes it resistant to the invasion of other insects and other diseases. Turpentine is even a derivative of tree sap. How many have ever had turpentine applied to your wounds? It heals us too. It burns like fire, but it heals in the process. Sap has a healing property. Much of the beauty in a piece of wood is those places where that wood has been wounded and where the sap has rushed into that wound to begin a process of healing it. In fact, you look at all the knots on this pulpit. That's everywhere that there was a limb at one point. And the limb was broken off. And the sap rushed in and healed that broken place. And when you begin to saw wood apart, you'll find all kinds of things. I remember seeing Brother Dean work on things and point to different places, and Brother Billy, who point to places in the wood where somebody had driven a nail in it, or where something had been embedded, or where somebody had chopped into it, and how it had healed over. And when you saw through that, how there's the beauty. There's the beauty of that piece of wood. And I thought about how that when we are wounded as God's people, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, that the Holy Spirit begins to rush in, bring healing. Now, none of us like to be wounded. None of us like to be pruned. That's all part of the process of our growth. That's all part of the process of the trees of the Lord walking through this sin-stricken world, that we're going to be wounded along the way. But the good news is the Holy Spirit lives in us and He heals us. He protects us. And sometimes the most beautiful places in our life are the places that we have been wounded and then healed. Some of the places that give God the most glory, that bring Him the most glory in our life, are those places that we have been wounded or pruned, and the Holy Spirit has brought healing, and then God uses that in our life to minister to others. Sap smells good. Now, maybe y'all don't, but I like to hear an old or smell an old pine tree bleed. I love the smell of turpentine. I got a tree climber that'll make a pine tree bleed. And every time I climb up and sit in that thing, I'm surrounded by that aroma of pine bleeding. And it's pretty good cover scent too. But I don't think there's any wood in the world that I know of that smells any better than cedar. Cedar may be the most aromatic wood in the world. If there's something that smells better, I hadn't smelled it. Now, there's all kinds of smells out there when you smell wood. But cedar has one of the most captivating and one of those smells that you just want to keep smelling. People use it in hope chests. Some of you got some hope chests at your house and you got some old blankets or old knit yarn blankets in there. And when you open that chest up, what's the first thing that hits you? The aroma of that cedar wood. Some of you got your closets walled with cedar wood. I know at Zach and them's house, their closets have cedar inside of those closets. Gives the clothes a good smell. People use it to build jewelry boxes. Brother Dean has built some beautiful jewelry boxes out of cedar wood. And when you open up those boxes, not only is the beauty of the jewelry there, but you smell the aroma of that wood. Now, you seal it on the outside, you may not smell it real good, but when you open that box, the aroma of that cedar wood. And it's always there. It's you know, I'm like, they need to make an air freshener that lasts as long as cedar lasts. Why does it smell good? That's the sap. Even when the tree is dead, the sap still gives off the aroma. And this verse just came to my mind. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, for they rest from their labors and their works do follow them. What does that mean? You can still smell them. Listen to me, there are saints of God that have left this church in the 24 years that I've been there, and every time I walk in the doors, I smell the aroma of their influence. I hope when I leave this world that somebody can still smell the aroma of the Holy Spirit that worked in my life and that worked through my life. But I want to tell you something. I don't want to wait till I'm dead to start smelling you. I think that the life of a Spirit-filled Christian is the sweetest smelling savor that the nostrils of God have ever smelled. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. And when God looks down on our lives and sees us living and breathing vessels of the Holy Spirit, that aroma of righteousness fills his nostrils and pleases him. We bring a fragrance to this world of light, of life, of love. Does this world need light? Does it need life? Does it need love? Absolutely, because all I see around me is darkness and deception and the destruction that sin is bringing. But righteous, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. And they bring that aroma of God's righteousness. They bring the light and the life and the love that he puts in us. I didn't give Matt this. I just thought about this just before the church service started a while ago. So this is not going to be on the board. Sap makes a tree more agile. I don't know if that's the right word or not. During the winter, when the sap kind of drains itself out of a tree, it doesn't. By the way, sap never really leaves it, but there is such a thing as the sap rising and falling. During the winter time, when trees grow more dormant and the sap doesn't have as much work to do, it kind of not completely drain, but it rises and it falls. And if you spend any time in the woods, you'll find out in the winter of the year, When those trees are not full of sap, you can break those limbs pretty easy. You can get up and bite any tree you want to and prune it with your hands because they snap. Why? Because they're not full of sap. But you get a tree that's full of sap, you have to bend and twist. Y'all, you men that live in the woods, you know this. Sometimes you gotta pop it, and then you gotta do this here and twist it off. Why? Because it's full of sap. It's more durable. It's more agile. It's more it's limber. It can roll with the punches. You want to see trees broke off? Get them in the wintertime in a strong wind. They'll snap. But you get them in the springtime when the sap is rising and the tree is full. They can twist and turn and bend without breaking. The trees of the Lord that are full of sap can take what the world brings to it and survive. It can bend and flex with the storms that come against them. Now I'm done. These cedars of Lebanon, one other thing I found out that was interesting about them. They grow deep. And they grow tall. And they grow for a long, long time. But you can see in the picture how closely some of them are knit together. And I found this to be very interesting. In fact, there's a national a park that you can go to now to see these trees. And reading some of the observations of the people that have been there. These trees grow so close together that their limbs begin to interlock with one another. And there are actually times when those limbs are so closely acquainted with one another that they blend themselves together. So that you have the trees feeding off of each other, literally. And so that if one tree is maybe a little weak, the other trees are supporting it. And the lifeblood of one tree is actually flowing into another tree. And even when some of those trees die, their limbs are so interlocked with the other trees around them that it holds them up. And I thought, what a beautiful analogy of the body of Christ. How that when we grow up together and we grow tall and we grow deep and we grow strong and we grow long, that God locks us together. That we're bound in unity. That we feed off of one another. That we feed each other. That we hold each other up. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. And I want to say this about Zion Hill Church. I don't believe that there is any more spiritual group of people anywhere in this world than you are. And I mean that when I say that. My little Sunday school class, me and Craig and Pam, I've run Lindsay off after the first week. She had never come back. I'm just kidding. She's been busy. She's had that stuff going on, but we've been talking about the unity of the body. And I told him this morning, I don't remember. It's been so long ago. It's hard for me to recall a time that we have really been divided as a body. It's been so long ago. Not that we don't disagree from time to time. Me and my wife disagree about every day about where we're going to eat. That ain't disunity. I don't remember the last time that we had a divisive negative vote here on anything that we've done. Unity is a sign that the Spirit of God is here. In fact, the Bible doesn't tell us to create unity. It says keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. And sap is just another way to say the Spirit of God that fills the body of His people. Zion Hill is a good church. Zion Hill is full of trees of the Lord. Zion Hill is full of trees of the Lord that are full of sap. And I'll say this, there are very few sap suckers at Zion Hill. every now and then want to peck, but you're like, nah. Every now and then I may be doing the pecking, but I'm proud to be part of this body. You don't have to run the aisles. Shout till your bobby pins are flying. For me to know that you're full of the Spirit of God. How'd I know that? Because you love each other. And you're kind to each other. You're tender-hearted to each other. You're forgiving of each other. You encourage each other. You give to one another. You serve one another. You love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. And I'm just proud to be part of this forest. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, I just felt like maybe all of us as your people, we just needed a word to encourage us this morning. To uplift us. Edify us. And it's not that there's not any work to do in our life. There is. All of us got our works in progress. And there are places in our life we need to be convicted of and stuff we need to deal with and areas that we need to experience a conversion. But every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building this morning that has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are a tree of the Lord that you planted. A tree that you watered. A tree that you have sustained through storms and trials and wounds. A tree that's alive. Tree that's growing, a tree that's producing fruit, some in more measure than others, but we are, as your people, the trees of the Lord. And I pray this morning that we would all be full of sap, that we would be full of the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the matter is that we have all of Him that we want. The real question in our life is, does He have all of us that He wants? So God, I pray this morning that through every root, every limb, every branch, every bloom in our life, may the Holy Spirit fill us up. Give us life. Heal us. Make us strong. Help us to give off that sweet-smelling savor of righteousness to the world and to you. Bind us together. Lock our arms together. Lock us together in a way that we help each other. That we can lean into each other. We can glean from each other. Make us all that you would have us to be. Build a temple with each one of us individually and collectively. And we'll give you glory and honor and praise for everything that you do in us. Without them I wouldn't
I can see.